Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformation as Strategy, a podcast brought to you by the experts at Roland Berger Americas, where we explore fresh perspectives and practical strategies to help business owners create a lasting competitive edge. I'm your host, Mackenzie Puttisi, and the topic for this episode is the current state of AI in procurement. Joining me for today's conversation is Max Gustafsson, a principal at Roland Berger. Hello, Max. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mackenzie, and excited to be here.
Yeah. Max, do you mind letting us know a little bit more about your role at Roland Berger and your day-to-day in the industry?
Sure. Yeah. So as mentioned, I'm a principal in our operations practice, located just outside Washington, D.C. As part of operations, I focus on really all manner of cost transformation topics. And one of the most integral functions that's part of that is procurement. So we'll be talking today, kind of through the lens of how AI is changing, how we do procurement.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Let's dive into this. I know procurement is often described as one of the few business functions where AI can drive both operational efficiency and direct cost savings. So what makes procurement uniquely positioned to benefit from AI compared to other enterprise functions?
So I think, yeah, procurement is distinct in that, you know, it sits at this intersection of data, decisions, and money and dollars. So unlike most functions, it manages large volumes of structured spend data, but also unstructured, and highly repeatable processes, kind of creating strong ideal conditions for AI to automate tasks, and improve efficiency. At the same time, procurement does directly influence, the decisions that is from procurement, influence supplier selection, pricing, and demand aggregation, enabling AI to generate tangible cost savings. So I think it's this dual link between process efficiency, which really any function can benefit from, and bottom line impact that I do think is specific to procurement, that makes procurement one of the most compelling areas for AI value creation.
Max, I think you've really set the stage there, and it sounds like, you know, there's a lot going on in the industry. You're living it, you're kind of observing it. And so with that perspective, I wanted to ask you, how are today's procurement leaders approaching AI? Are they viewing it primarily as a productivity tool? Is it a strategic decision-making asset or something else entirely?
Yeah, so I would say first, today, procurement leaders are still in the early stages of AI adoption. You see many focusing on testing use cases, building proofs of concept, and running pilot programs rather than any kind of big, large-scale deployments. So to your question, AI today is primarily viewed as a productivity enabler, helping teams do what they already do, but more efficiently by automating manual and repetitive tasks. So the immediate benefit that leaders see is improved productivity through having, you know, capacity that is now freed up within their team, being able to accelerate the time at which it takes to do activities, and then allowing your teams to focus on higher value activities rather than these repetitive tasks. So that really kind of lays the foundation to expand into more advanced value generating use cases over time. In these more advanced use cases, for example, what are they? They can enable better decision making by improving how procurement analyzes and acts on that data, such as identifying savings opportunities within specific categories of spend, optimizing your supplier selection and what suppliers you're even bidding to, what regions are you looking at, and then strengthening how you negotiate with those suppliers. So it can provide not just deeper spend visibility and real-time risk insights, but also allows procurement to make more proactive and informed decisions. And the last thing I want to mention is that it broadens the scope of what procurement teams can address. So again, your team today has a fixed capacity that maybe you really can't go and bid every category as frequently as you want to. With AI, it frees up some of that, again, the bandwidth to focus on the higher value activities, allowing better management of things that you weren't able to monitor so closely in the past. Things like your tail spend, your small vendor spend, complex categories like MRO, spare parts, and other related supplies like packaging. So as a result, I think AI, it's the first thing it does is it shifts procurement from, you know, simply executing processes faster and more efficiently, but then it kind of moves you to more actively driving better outcomes and unlocking new sources of value.
Excellent. I think it sounds like you've given us a sense of sort of what's being done now. And I know a lot of people are starting to implement now in these last few years some AI initiatives. Now, there is some upfront cost there. There's some learning curve, absolutely. And so I believe that it's an infrastructure investment from what I'm hearing from you. Are there any pitfalls that limit AI's impact in procurement? And, you know, why do these challenges persist as people are starting to get in and roll out this investment?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's several pitfalls. So I don't think what I'll mention is not exhaustive, but I think they're kind of common stumbling blocks that that companies run into. And I'd say the first is around the data. So really the starting point of what data are you working with? And that data, you know, does need to be, we call kind of AI ready to be able to do something with it. So that's one of the first areas I think that companies stumble is they say, well, our data is too disjointed, inconsistent. It's not all connected. So we don't have one place that we can start to pull from and analyze. So really, I think that's one of the first areas that we like to preach about is that, you know, you need a robust semantic layer to connect and standardize all of your data assets. So a semantic layer is basically a standardized framework that translates raw, complex data into business-friendly terms. And it usually sits, you know, between your data storage, data warehouses, data lakes, and where your consumption tools lie. So it's kind of a universal translator or a hub and spoke that interfaces with the rest of the enterprise. So data is number one. I think that's a kind of a stumbling area. The second is thinking that kind of narrow thinking that AI is solely Gen AI. Gen AI is very popular. You know, you hear it a lot and it is impressive. The things you see, you know, the image based capabilities that it has. But again, that is just one piece. I think that kind of limits the scope of use cases and misses broader analytics and optimization opportunities. So I do think that Gen AI is very powerful actually for gathering some of that data from a broader range of sources, such as from drawings, from CAD files, from POs, invoices, you know, through more modern AI OCR techniques to interpret and translate that visual data, again, to input into that semantic layer basis that I talked about before. So I think it can help feed the data issue, but it's not the only thing that you can do with AI. And then the third last point I'd mention is that, you know, many organizations are very focused on cause and effect. I invest, I get quick wins. So there's kind of an over-indexing on quick win results at the expense of building a longer term, you know, plan that can lead to transformative value. So, I mean, that gets compounded by an absence of really an AI-ready operating system, operating model, where roles, processes, and governance are not adapted to fully embed AI into procurement workflows. So you also need a kind of a good op model that's ready to basically accept, you know, a longer term transformative plan. So it's not really an either or situation, but I think you need both quick wins and, you know, because you need those to build the confidence in the organization that there is value worth pursuing, but also a longer term roadmap to unlock the true transformative value that AI can offer.
Excellent. It sounds like people do need to sort of get their data in order, get their house in order, have a good perspective on what's realistic, short and long term. And And so actually, I want to kind of shift the conversation from, you know, what's happening now in these last sort of few years as AI has become available broadly and where we're going. So as these AI capabilities continue to evolve, which procurement processes are generating the most compelling results today? And where do you see the biggest opportunities emerging over the next few years, Max?
Yeah, so I'd say today, the issue I mentioned earlier with having a strong basis of data is kind of the first place I've seen AI be deployed to go and address and try and piece this together. So you do see pretty compelling results from the spend categorization and analytics. So using AI to either suggest a taxonomy to categorize your data, or taking a taxonomy that the company already uses and then just feeding in vast amounts of data and asking it to categorize to your suggested, you know, taxonomy. So I think that's where you're seeing it, you know, work well, rapidly, pretty effectively today. And, you know, but looking forward, I think once you have that in place, the bigger opportunity emerges is organizations build, off of that data foundation and workflows, bigger things. So you can move beyond analytics to more autonomous execution, really. So this is things like deploying agents that can actually directly interact with suppliers. So they can interact to just do simple things like manage contracts. They can kind of monitor the performance of a supplier and obviously communicate with the supplier to react to that. But we've seen agents that look at supporting negotiations across a large swath of suppliers. So really kind of doing negotiations at scale, which is something you could never do with just humans trying to negotiate. So you get more into kind of the agentic solutions that would evolve kind of beyond just the visibility and, you know, analytics insight that you get today, the capability that does drive, you know, broader execution and value creation in procurement over time.
That's exciting. I think that agentic layer can be really powerful, especially in procurement and supply chain when there's so many moving parts, people in different regions, quantities, prices, like you said, negotiating. That's going to be an interesting evolution. Now, Max, if people are out there and they're just beginning this AI journey in their companies, in their corporations, what should a procurement leader prioritize first to ensure they're building a strong foundation rather than just chasing the latest tech trend?
Yeah. And again, this where to start depends on the company and where the starting point is for the company. So really what we like to do is first just understand where the company is at today through a maturity check. So that really would assess the readiness for AI adoption by getting a pulse of, you know, the organizational capabilities as well as the technical. I mean, people focus a lot on, well, what platform are you using? Does everybody have licenses, access to this? But it's really, I think the people element is equally important as they're the ones who have to use and interpret the results. So first is getting a maturity check, we call it. The second, we recommend developing and testing targeted AI use cases, focusing on high impact opportunities that can demonstrate tangible value. So this can be something as foundational as data categorization and harmonization, like I mentioned before, but it could expand to more of an agentic solution if you actually already have a good data foundation and you're already ready for something more. Third, I think it's once you've tested some use cases, organizations should invest in some sort of enablement phase. So usually through the use of a pilot or pilots to stand up the tech stack, build the internal capabilities, you know, within the organization, but while kind of scaling into more and more successful use cases. So you're going beyond just use case and now really piloting in a specific area. And then finally, I think, you know, as you if you really are trying to get to that full AI first scenario, we recommend defining a clear AI acceleration strategy. You know, start including a prioritized roadmap, governance model. What's the impact we expect to get from this to ensure sustained value creation? So this sequence approach, I think, ensures that, you know, organizations are building the right data, the right capabilities and operating model to scale AI effectively, rather than just pursuing, you know, fragmented ad hoc initiatives.
I think that's important. The step-by-step is, you know, you often want to jump a step because AI is moving so fast. It sounds so exciting. The promises are real. They're high. So I do think that's great advice, Max. Thanks for that. And you mentioned before some kind of like short-term wins, long-term strategies. I want to ask you a little bit more about that. You know, with AI moving so quickly, what should leaders be doing to achieve some of those short-term AI wins? And what are those? You know, if you can give us some examples of sort of like, what are some wins on the table that maybe you've seen that people can go for? And then how do those lead into that longer-term organizational value?
Yeah. So again, I think it's not an either or situation. I think the balance between capturing early wins and building towards transformation, you know, these are not competing priorities. So in the near term, I mean, I think pick something that is obviously achievable within kind of the realm that you can control as a leader. So whether that's just within your function or if it's within a series of functions, so maybe it's procurement and product development. But again, I think that the good place to start is automation, analytics, data categorization, because it's critical to kind of show and demonstrate that value early on. And it's something that's tangible, that people can understand. But yeah, by doing that, you would build momentum, you create organizational buy-in. And I think many companies are already seeing strong results from piloted programs and targeted use cases. Just by they can see that they can execute faster when they have this, and they can measure, you know, very empirically what the performance gains are. So again, kind of picking things that allow your team to do things faster, or a broader scale, or being able to, again, address more than you could previously, are just good demonstrations to, hey, this has value. And again, but leading organizations don't just stop there. They're pulling ahead, or at least those that you see kind of pulling ahead are treating AI as not just a tool for efficiency, but as a catalyst for broader business transformation. So they use these early wins as a foundation to drive deeper changes, particularly in data quality, process standardization, and then you get into cross-functional integration, which is probably, yeah, one of the bigger unlocks, but is much harder to go straight to, because you need each function to be kind of familiar and have some proficiency in already, you know, functioning in an AI environment. So I think it's important to kind of just build up the comfort in the functions first, and then cross-functional integration is where you can start to get really big collaboration boosts, again, deploying these tools we're talking about. So, I think practically, just to recap it all, you know, use quick wins to prove value and build momentum, invest in data integrity and harmonization to enable scale, align the leadership and operating model around kind of a singular AI vision so that everybody's aligned on where you're going to, and then start to embed AI across the workflows rather than just isolating it in pilots. So I think those, you know, organizations that succeed are the ones that avoid this kind of pilot purgatory, using short-term results to fund and justify longer-term transformation, which you really need to fully embed AI into how procurement operates.
Max, I might have to borrow that term from you, the pilot purgatory. I feel like
that's
something we definitely want to avoid.
Don't want to be trapped there.
Exactly. Well, you've given us a lot of great advice so far. I think you've been really concise and clear about, you know, how we can start, where we can have some of those wins short and long term, and where we're going. And so I want to ask you one final question here, a question we like to ask all of our experts on the show. What is one piece of advice you would give to businesses that are looking to stay ahead of the curve and compete based on the trends that we're seeing in procurement in 2026?
Yeah, so I think the first thing I'll say is that not to get discouraged. I think there's a lot of AI is everywhere. It's going so fast. We must be behind. And really, that's a misnomer. I think most organizations are still early in their AI journey. In fact, I mean, what we've seen is more than half are still in the testing and piloting phase, or they're just starting to build their roadmap. So you're not behind. I think the key is to move with intent rather than speed. So put a clear plan in place. Start with high impact use cases, build the right data foundation, and then scale from there. So just, it's really the basics that you want to establish and demonstrate first. And then, yeah, you know, I think organizations that win aren't the ones that are just chasing the latest tools, but the ones that take a structured, deliberate approach in embedding, you know, how AI can work within their procurement processes. So how they really operate using AI. So in short, you're not late, but now is the time to start with a clear plan and build momentum.
Beautiful. Max, thank you so much for your valuable insight throughout this conversation. That wraps up our discussion for today. And I truly appreciate those strategies, the insights to help business owners navigate AI trends in the procurement landscape. So again, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for our listeners out there, if you'd like to learn more about what Max and the team at Rolandberger Americas are working on, you can visit www.rolandberger.com. And if you're a fan of this show, please share it with your colleagues. And of course, be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Podigee.